Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just for a second. Look around for a second. Look around. Because this is what a team looks like. This is what a team looks like. It's from Mark. Going, getting Yaz for us this winter, and Moose. David getting us Big Palm, Ray Black, and Jordan Lyles at the deadline.
Yeah! Right?
And it's the Arizona trading staff.
That's right.
Getting Brett Suter ready for us. It's Charlie Green and all the player development guys getting Grish ready for us this summer. And most of all, man, it's you guys in this room, man, because you sacrificed everything for this month, and you brought that shit. Mm-hmm. You brought it. It was impressive. Cheers, boys.
Here we go, man.
Great sounds. That's manager Craig Counsell, your Milwaukee Brewers. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here, along with Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back. And we play that happy moment because joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is that man, Brewers manager Craig Counsell. Greg, appreciate it and welcome in on the offseason. We really appreciate the time here today.
No worries, guys.
So, Craig, right off the bats, we want to congratulate you and say what the honor is for you to be considered for a second straight year a finalist for National League Manager of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, it means we had a great year, man. And, you know, we the number one goal is, I think, you start seasons and you want to make the, you know, put yourself in the dance to win a World Series. We did that, you know. The game didn't go the way we wanted, but you got to give yourself a shot at the dance every year, and we did that again this year. It's not easy to do, and that's what you want to do every year.
Talk a little bit, Craig, if you could, about chemistry of this baseball team and how, even though you brought back a lot of the same players, you know, into spring training last year versus the year before, how that's still a work in progress every year. As far as how that plays out throughout the season and how much of that really falls on you and the coaching staff?
Yeah, it's just, you know, everybody's in a different spot. I mean, you're in a different spot in your life, every season. And I think it matters for these guys for sure. And so you can have a lot of the same people, but it changes, right? I mean, it changes when you know, you're struggling. It changes when, you just had a baby in your family. It changes when you're having health problems with your parents. It changes when you're a year away from free agency. So you got to recognize all that and understand that. And then I think that, you know, you take all those things in and try to help guys play the best they can, you know, with all those different things going on. And that's why every team is different and every team just, you know, it just tastes a little bit different. I use the soup a lot, but it just tastes a little different every year.
And that's one of my questions too, because I think the game has changed a lot, even since when you played. I mean, if you look at your rotation, I think that's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, how do you know which guy to go put in, when to go get them, all those types of things? I think it's tough managing that way, but you seem to be able to do it pretty good.
There's no doubt it's different. You know, probably one of the, you know, most challenging things to do as we go through this is that you can't always rely on, like, what got you there and what's happened in the past. That's why you have to look ahead as much as you're looking behind you to know what's next. And we found some different ways to use our pitching staff that, if you'd have asked me, you know, 15 years ago, I would have said, we can't do that, or I would have no idea about it, really. But you know, as we've thought about it and as we've thought about different ways to, you know, really you're trying to accentuate what your team's good at. And really you try to use the strengths of your team, and it's different every year. You know, someday we may have the great starting pitching that, that makes us a very traditional team. You know, we've done it a little differently in the past with kind of using the numbers to get us through games rather than just individual guys. And so you're taking advantage of your team's strengths, and that's really what the question that we're trying to answer every day.
Talking with Brewers manager Craig Counsell here on the Wendy's Big Show, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Craig, with that starting pitching that you just touched on, and a lot of it does come down to the guys that you have in the clubhouse over an overarching philosophy, analytically based from upstairs, but you do have some young starting pitching last year that you banked on with three young guys breaking camp in the rotation in Corbin, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta. Obviously, what Brandon Woodruff became this year could be something that wouldn't have even been expected, knowing what we did going in there. But understanding how tough it is to develop pitching, is that something that's possibly going to be on the table to go into this year with those same guys trying to break camp in that rotation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason... Look, it's always going to be tough. Like, you're never going to go into an offseason like with five starters like settled. And that's I don't think any team will ever say that. No team around baseball is going to be saying that. So you're always going to have questions around your pitching going in the offseason. You know, I look, we have two young starters to me, and Adrian Hauser, I think we forget about a little bit, but he had a really, really good year. So you got two young starters out of those four guys, took some big steps forward for us last year. That's a great sign. I think we do have to obviously add to our starting pitching inventory. And I know David will, by the time we get to February or April 1st, we definitely will. But I think we're in a pretty good spot. And the fact that we had two guys take some big steps forward and from Woodruff's perspective, I mean, he's an all-star. You know, he's really established himself as somebody that's pretty impactful. So I think you're going to have disappointments along the way, but we also had, you know, one major step forward, and Adrian Hauser, I think, took a huge step forward also.
This has a feel to me after we watch Chase Anderson gets traded and Thames not brought back as of right now, not picking up the option. It feels like this could be one of the larger roster turnovers you've had since you've been here with you and David Stearns. Have you guys had that discussion? Does it feel the same way?
Well, what happens is I think as we've gotten, you know, better as a team, we've gotten older as a team, right? So when you get older, you generally have, you know, contractually, the players are going to have free agency or contract options closer. And so... Yeah, we are going to have some turnover because of the where guys' contracts got to this year. I think it's kind of part of where we're at as an organization. And then we also look. There's a budget, man. You know, that's the way it is. There's a budget, and so you got to make decisions, and you got to give yourself flexibility to have options. I think David's always done a great job of giving us flexibility. And when you get flexibility through a winter, you know, you tend to be able to kind of push things the way you want to. And that's what David's done a great job of.
So do you fight for the old crusty veterans to fill holes on your roster? I think like Mike McCarthy probably would have liked back in the day with Ted Thompson, and he never got. Is that your role as manager? Give me some guys that have been in these battles, David, to help fill a couple of holes.
I don't know. I like good players. I will tell you that. Yeah, good players. So they can come in. I don't care what good players look like. They can be old, young, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. Good players.
So when you look back, though, at the overall program, like, you know, you guys have a model of things, that how you guys want to look. And right now, you know, you've been to the playoffs, you know, twice in a row here. And, you know, it seems like the Brewer fans are now on the cusp that they want this to be sustainable, and I hear that word a lot. I use it in my household now with my kids. I want sustainable success out of my kids too, not just so you know, Craig. But that's what you guys have set forth. Then how do you go about sustaining that if you do have turnover? Because I think it's going to take a while for all this stuff to meld together.
Yeah, you're right. But I think kind of the way that Major League Baseball works is that for us to do this, there's going to be turnover. We are going to have to plug holes, and it does feel like that. It feels like that for most teams, frankly. It really does. And so that's not something unexpected. Sometimes the names are going to change, and, we don't always want them to. I mean, I think we both, everybody's clear, and we'd love to have Moose back and love to have Yasmani Grandal back and Jordan Lyles and Pomerantz. But it's hard because those guys had great years and earned some things that we may not be able to get to. So that's part of it. Our job is to put it back together. The work, that we try to create, in the clubhouse starts the day we all get together for the first time, and you work hard at that. And hopefully by the end of the year, you've created something pretty special.
Talking with manager Craig Counsell here of your Milwaukee Brewers on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Now the longest tenured manager in the National League. Craig, you talked about it a little bit before the final regular season game of the year and said that you learned a lot about being a manager from just seeing how Joe Maddon did it a couple of miles south down in Chicago. Now knowing what you know, are there some different ways that you've taken to understanding only the clubhouse and how that needs to be managed, but also the in-game strategies? How much do you feel you've grown as a manager since you took the job back in 16?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody would say that, we get better with experience because we just react a little faster. We see things a little bit faster. That's what you want experience to do, right? You want to notice things a little sooner. And then make decisions, and whether that be in the clubhouse, on the field, a guy you feel like is going the wrong way, helping him out, body language, noticing a process that's just not quite right and getting you into trouble and fixing that process, making it more systematic. I think those are things you just get better at with experience. And so I think that's what I'm referring to. Look, I do. I think Joe Maddon, and I'm really referring to the in-game stuff with Joe Maddon. That's what I see. He's a master at it. He's really good at it. And you learn what to look for by seeing what he sees. And he was a kind of a teacher in a way, but, not directly. I really, frankly, have had very little conversations with him about it. But you watch him and you learn from him.
Earlier this offseason, you guys decided to move on from Carlos Cibero, the first base coach, the only one that you guys decided to move on from. Can you just kind of enlighten us as far as the duties that coach fills on a day-to-day basis for the Brewers and what you're looking for in the next first base coach?
Yeah, well, I think, look, when you put a staff together, in my opinion, you're trying to fill to cover just – that you're covering needs for players, right? And so that's what Carlos provided doesn't have to be what the next first base coach provides. Carlos was in Carlos's situation, he was responsible for our infield defense and positioning. He was responsible for some of our base running. Him and Eddie Cedar shared some of our base running responsibilities. So that's what we're missing at this point, but we're always going to look to try to find ways to, increase how we can make our players better. And so there's coaches out there that do that in a lot of different ways, and we're open to trying to figure that out.
Craig, I don't know if you do or not, but do you look at maybe the Nationals maybe as a model or something how you want to get it done? I know the pitching is different, but I think if you look at them long term, and they've been a ball club who's been there, trying to get there, lost, trying to get there. Then all of a sudden, over a period of years, they're able to be able to just knock the door in. Is that something that you guys are trying to build and be like?
Yeah. I don't know. The Nationals, what I see for the Nationals, frankly, is the Nationals did it very similar to how a team that I played on did it in the 2001 Diamondbacks. It was two great starting pitchers, Johnson and Schilling, Strasburg and Scherzer, that they really was the key to the whole thing. It was not a great bullpen. The 2001 Diamondbacks did not have a great bullpen. And the team itself was a very... it was an older veteran team, and that's what with the exception of Juan Soto, that's what the Nationals were. So I really don't think that'll ever be the team that we are in Milwaukee. What you could sense with that team is that when I think you put a lot of guys together that have kind of never won and older players, they got themselves on the same page with each other, and that winning the whole thing just became everything to them. And when everything else kind of slips away for a team and winning is the only thing that matters to every guy in that room, that's when the special things happen.
And also, what does it goes to show, though, that they lose Bryce Harper, but they were still able to get it done? Because I'm sure they thought he'd be a centerpiece for all this.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? One fascinating is they had Bryce Harper, basically the same team last year with Bryce Harper, and weren't able to do this. So it's a little bit of the how finicky baseball is, but also, look, man, it's opportunistic, right? You got a shot at it, and that's always going to make, you know, your losses hurt and your losses in the playoff hurt. But when you get shots at it, you know, you want to take advantage of it because they're not easy to come by. I mean, that team didn't make the playoffs last year with Bryce Harper. So it's, you know, when you get shots at it, you want to capitalize on them. And it makes, for us and for me, you know, it always makes 18 and 19 hurt a little bit because we had shots at it and didn't do what we wanted with them.
Talking with Brewers skipper Craig Counsell here on the Wendy's Big Show. Craig, in that postseason experience that you just talked about with 18 and 19, having the amount of young players that you do, and especially this year, the amount of young players you had playing prominent roles and now moving forward, having that playoff experience as a guy that had that young in his career, how do you see that affecting the careers of a Keston here, a Trent Grisham, and even Josh Hader? Now it's hard to say that he's a young player, but he is, and he's already a two-time All-Star and a two-time Reliever of the Year.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing as we talked about being a manager, man. It just helps, right? It's you know, for a guy like Josh, or to take Brandon Woodruff, you know, he started two years, he started playoff games. So I do think, you know, you wish that experience would have been longer for Keston and for Trent Grisham this year. You know, it's the one game experience is, man, it's so fast, and it's a little hard to get your head around and kind of what just happened. But you use from it what you can. And I think as much as anything, you know, you hope that some of those lessons apply to the regular season. It's like, man, it's really hard to get here. Every game's important. We're going to try to maximize every night to make it a little easier ourselves, to get ourselves a home playoff game. That's hopefully kind of what comes through with all that.
I got a couple of things still on my plate that I want to ask.
That's a couple, huh?
Well, no, I'd have more. I'd have more, but getting you in studio is probably much tougher than via phone, so we'll just do what we can with the phone. What about the closer role going forward? Now, obviously, the Corey Knebel injury was horrible because it set up a situation where you were having to try and find somebody to close the back end of games, which ended up being Josh Hader, which ended up being a different role than he was the year previous. In a perfect world for Craig Counsell, how does it look next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's in a perfect world, we just get, the fact that Corey comes back, you know, means we have two, a left-hander and a right-hander that are hopefully dominant relievers. And so how that shakes out, I think it's, you know, the year that Corey and Josh were both there, I think they had the same number of saves at the back end. So I think Jeremy actually led JJ actually led the team in saves that year. So, you know, I'll always tell you, and it sounds like lip service, but getting 27 outs is what I'm thinking about. Like, not who pitches the last three. It's how we get 27. So sometimes, the outs in the sixth inning are the game, are what changes the game. It gets a worse reliever for them in. We score some runs, and the ninth inning's not so hard. So, I know getting Corey back, we feel awfully good about it. It's like a player that we signed in free agency. We don't have to give anything up, and we got him back. So I'm excited about getting him back.
What about first and third base now? As of right now, Moustakas and you guys decided to part ways there for the time being. Doesn't mean you can't bring him back. Same with Eric Thames. You trade Aguilar, so he's gone. So two names I want to get your thoughts on. One, Ryan Braun, possibly going to first on a more permanent basis to allow a Grisham to get into the outfield. Two, Travis Shaw and his struggles last year and how you see his future with Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Ryan's been really, look, I thought, first of all, I think Ryan had a great year this year. You know, he's a 30, I always get it wrong by 1 year. I think he's 35, and he's still producing at a pretty high level. Not easy to do. I thought he just had a really wonderful season this year. And so we got to make some, you know, I think how the winter shakes out for David will probably influence what happens a little bit kind of with positions for Ryan. And I think but it's flexibility that David wants. And I think that's a good thing. Right. For Travis, you know, I think all of us are still, you know, trying to figure out what happened with Travis. It was probably the great mystery of this season for me, for sure. And for a lot of us, and Travis, I'm sure too, is like, man, what happened? If you go back through baseball and we tried, you just don't see it. Right. So that makes it harder to figure out and harder to figure out what's next. So that's a big decision. I'll tell you that we're going to have to make a decision on that one. You know, in early December, and it's a big decision that is going to affect the rest of the offseason.
I'm all about helping my manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. Ryan Braun turns 36th on November 17th, Craig.
All right. I think I said 35.
You said 35, right? But just so you know, his birthday's coming up.
Yeah.
Craig, now you've been able to celebrate with three different decades now of celebrating clubhouse victories in the playoffs. How are the kids doing it these days back to when you were doing it back in Florida?
Yeah, the one thing they got on me for is that I didn't put any goggles on. And so now I will never put goggles on in this stuff, because that's how I'm going to be old school. I'm not wearing goggles.
Just blind yourself. It's a good idea.
Way to be a crusty veteran.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, more importantly, though, what is the celebration planned for you in the house when you win Manager of the Year next week? Like, are we going to have some wine? What are we having for our celebratory dinner? What are we thinking?
No, I'll get the same treatment from my kids, no matter what's going on every day, and that's why you love being home. That's what I'll say. So there won't be anything special going on, man. It's that's a team win, and
hey, look, man,
and I'll be happy for everybody if we do.
Hey, look, if you win Manager of the Year, you come on over here to the radio station. We'll have our own little party in the conference room. Kids can stay home.
Yeah, I know you guys know how to do it, right?
Guys know how to do it. Yeah, we can do it. Yeah.
Craig, appreciate it, man. Enjoy it, and good luck. We are rooting for you, though, all jokes aside. And it'd be well-deserved if it does come home with you as NL Manager of the Year. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care. Thanks.
Thanks, man. That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell joining us here today on the Wendy's Big Show on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.